morning. I was surprised to hear this week that the Egyptians have found another mummy, and it was covered with chocolate and nuts. Apparently, it's Pharaoh Roche. Was that real? If that was worse than Pastor Robbins, then he told me to say it. So, if it was better, then it was mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that your desire to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for your desire that we should come close to you and that we should be a part of what you're doing in building your kingdom. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I thought I ought to start with something light and smile because it's a slightly serious message that I've got. So we've said before, I never smile, so I thought we'd smile to start with. So. We were looking at hearing and seeing, and this is part two as a recap because you've all forgotten, and and for those that weren't here anyway. We were picking up that Jesus had said that the things that he said, the teaching that he gave was not his own teaching, it had come from the Father. And that the things that he did, he only did the things that Father did, that he saw the Father doing, and that without that, he could do nothing. And we've said that God wants us to do the same. He wants us to be the same. And we saw last time that hardness of heart prevents us from doing that. And that parables were given, and Jesus taught in parables, so that people whose heart were hard just didn't understand what actually was being said. It's an interesting thing, actually. I don't know whether you've actually read the Narnia books, but the world thinks it's great, and we've got lots of films, and the films are shown fairly regularly as children's films. Hey, this is something really, really good to watch. But actually, if you read them with eyes that are open, there is an amazing, amazing account of the creation. There's an amazing account of salvation. There's an amazing account of the coming of the Spirit. There's an amazing way of explaining what happens when we die. It's all there. But you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see in order to see it. So we looked last week, or last time, at the Israelites, the way that they didn't see or hear. So let's just remind ourselves of that one verse, Romans 11 and verse 8. As it is written, this is Romans 11. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so they could not hear. And much of that carries on to this present day. That was then, of course, 2,000 years ago, but it's still true today. The majority of Israel at the present time still do not see or hear. But it goes on to say that we have received their blessing. We have received overwhelming mercy. We have been allowed to see things and hear the things that some of the patriarchs long to see. That's what Hebrews 11 says. We have received the blessing, and we have been saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning, the very next word, or the word that starts chapter 12, is therefore. I urge you, brothers and sisters, because of what we've already heard, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of this overwhelming mercy we have received, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Look at those words. Then, when you do that, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. How is that different than just being able to discern what God is doing? So that you'll be able to see and hear what God is doing and saying. If you do those things, then you will be able to know, you'll be able to discern the difference between God's voice and another voice. If we do that, we will be able, it's like our eyes, the scales will be taken off our eyes and our ears will be unstopped if we do that. So it requires us to do two things. The first was to present our bodies as living sacrifices. And the second was to renew our minds. Today I'm going to look at the first one. And all being well, I shall look at the second one next time. So we're going to look at, let's go back, just can we put it back to the first? That's it. So in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, I don't often do this, but I'm going to just say that the word spiritual there is, it is just a shocking translation, okay? It isn't what the Greek word says at all. The Greek word that's used is only used twice in the whole of the New Testament. It's called, it's logikos. And as you can imagine, that word, from that word, we get our own English word, logical. Okay? So what Paul is, and we know Paul was an intellectual, wasn't he? Not, he was an educated man, let's put it like that. What he's saying is this. Therefore, because of what God has done for us, our response of offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him, is the logical response, is the intellectual response, is the reasonable response for what God has done for us. It's nothing to do with being spiritual, actually. It's to do with just being a human. If this, then this. If you have received this overwhelming mercy, if you have been saved, if you have been drawn by God's love, the normal, logical, reasonable response is for you to offer yourself. Offer yourself. So I just want to look at that for a few minutes this morning. So I'm going to look at, we're going to look at the words of Jesus. I'm going to have a few scriptures this morning. You know I like to, I really believe that this is the word of God. I really believe it's true. I really believe that it's like a sharp sword that can divide us in two, our spirit from our soul. So we're going to look at what Jesus said. Luke verse 9, chapter 9, 23 and 24. So Jesus is there. He's got his disciples around him in the crowd that's listening to him. And he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Wow. You want to follow Jesus? There's a cost. Jesus himself said, if you want to follow me, I'm afraid you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross daily. Daily. I want us to be very clear. Following Jesus is not about being saved. We say, oh, come and follow Jesus. That's true. There is an initial act of giving in to Jesus. And maybe some of you need to do that this morning. Maybe some of you for the first time need to say, Jesus, I want you in my life and I will follow you. But following primarily is what we do after we're saved. I get saved. Do you know, I'm sorry to say it, but there are a lot of Christians that follow Jesus the first step and then think, oh, that's good. Well, I'll stay here now. That was not the way Jesus intended it to be. Jesus wanted you to take the second step and the third step. Just imagine if Jesus had gone down onto the beach and said to Peter and Andrew and James and Don there on the beach, come and follow me. And they said, oh, that's great. Yes, we will. And they only went as far as the top of the road. Oh, well, I didn't mean every day and for all the way. I just thought you only just meant we'll just go to your house for some cup of tea. Well, no, that isn't what it's about. It's about following and following and following and following and following. To the point, as we've heard a few weeks ago, and Thomas said, oh, well, come on, we might as well follow him to die with him. We're just going to keep on following. You see, it's only by following like that that we get to do what Jesus did. It's only like by following like that that we get to say the things that Jesus said. It's only by following like that that we get to build the kingdom that Jesus wants to build. And brothers and sisters, we need to build the kingdom here. We need to build the kingdom in Redditch. We need the kingdom of God to impact all the crowd that Jane talked about earlier. We need, or prayed about earlier, it's praying. We need to impact the council. We need the kingdom of God to infiltrate all of these things, in order that his kingdom can come and his rule and reign and government might reach where we live day by day. His kingdom is not just for these four walls. It's not just for us to have a good time on a Sunday. And it has been a good time, hasn't it? But that's not what it's about. He wants us to be doing, Jesus said, I want you to go on and do even greater things than I've done. Even greater things. He wants you to go on and have that abundant life that was promised. But you have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. So it's fairly plain. I want us just to look at, I've got four scriptures here very quickly. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man cleanses himself, well, oh dear, that doesn't sound great on that version. It says, purify yourself from what is dishonorable. And then you'll be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. If you cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable in your life, if you purify yourself from what is dishonorable, then you become an instrument fit for the master's use. And that's what we're talking about. Let's look at Colossians 3 and verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death. Make your body a living sacrifice. Put to death those things. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. 1 Peter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. I'm going to leave those few words out there in parentheses. As a result, he does not... Arm yourself with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. Think about that for a moment. If you say about your life that you will not live the rest of your earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. I will live the rest of my life that I might do the will of God. That is a really, really big statement. That is a really big commitment. And let's be sensible about it. Jesus does not ask you to make a once and for all commitment, because even the Lord knows you can't do that and keep it. Which is why he says, take up your cross daily. He only asks you to make a commitment that big a day at a time. Could you do that today? Could you get up in the morning and say, Lord, today I will put aside all my own desires and I will live only for you today. I will live in your will today. I will say to you today, Lord, help me. I will walk in your spirit today. Help me to do that today, Lord. Just today. And then tomorrow is a new day. And the faithfulness of the Lord is new each morning. And I am being saved today again. And today I will say, Lord, do you know, I think I could do that again today. And daily, I will lay myself down and sacrifice myself in order that I may live that his will be done in my life. Hallelujah. I want to also pick up one word that we read in that third one, 1 Peter 2:11. Did you notice that the opposite, look at that word in the last line, which war. Wow. That's another big, big word, isn't it? Did you know that you are at war We've got wars right around us at the moment, as it were. It's in our faces day by day. You are at war. And the evil desires within you are at war against the Spirit. Well, there's a war going on in your life. There's a war going on. There is an enemy. You have an enemy that is trying to come and kill and steal and destroy. And you have Father God who is trying to bring abundant life. And a war is taking place for which one you'll take today. So, let's go on. So what do you need to do? It's very simple. So we present our bodies as living sacrifices. The sacrifice in the Old Testament, of course, was always on an altar. And many of you, particularly if you're older like me, you'll have heard, oh, lay your life on the altar for God. Do you know that's not a New Testament concept at all? That is only an Old Testament concept. Because the New Testament concept was Jesus, who was crucified. That is why the imagery in the New Testament about sacrifice is about, well, you've heard me say this a few times before, crucify the flesh. Put it to death. Present your body, not on an altar, present your body on a cross day by day. I will sacrifice myself on the cross today, Lord. Wow. I will deny myself. That is such a big thing. But it's the way to abundant life. It's the way to follow. So you need to put to death your self-life. You need to take up that cross daily. A daily choice. And as we said at the beginning, Paul thinks that it's just your reasonable response to what God has done for you. Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing special. Nothing extraordinary, as it were. No, just what's reasonable for what God has done for you. So in conclusion, if you want to follow Jesus, you have to deal with you. And I have to deal with me. I want you to tell your brothers and sisters, I am doing this really as best as I can. I am really challenged by this myself. Please do not run away with the idea that I've come to tell you to do this because I've done it and I've got it all together, because I haven't. We're all in this together. We're following Jesus together. As we've just been talking about, we're one body. And my great desire is that as a body we would do this. And we would see amazing things happen here. We need to get to the place so we can say with Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So put your natural desires to death and live God's life. Walk in the Spirit continually, day by day. And we will see glory here. Amen. Amen.